We read from 1 Peter chapter 2. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, dear fellow redeemed. In Peter's first epistle, he talks about suffering of the Christian no less than 8 times. But what Peter wants us to understand is that the kind of suffering the Christian is to experience in this life is what he calls unjust suffering, suffering for doing good. The Christian is not to get himself involved in those situations where he suffers justly. You may or may not know, but I was the Dean of Student Services here for 12 and a half years. And once in a very rare while, students would have to come to my office because of some infraction of the rules, and I would have to dish out some sort of penalty so they would suffer. Way back in those days, it was things like the stocks or the rack or 40 lashes. That's how old I am. But it was always justified suffering. Students always got exactly what they deserved. But Peter makes it clear he's not talking about just suffering or justified suffering. He says earlier in his epistle, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. The Christian suffering that he is talking about here is the hardship that is brought upon the Christian because of hatred or because of lovelessness or because of cruelty. It is the slanderous words and the wrongful actions that would invoke within us or with any decent human being the thought, this is not just, this is not right, this is not fair, this is wrong. And where the tendency, even the natural tendency, you might say, would be to defend oneself or at least to retaliate with words. So we're talking here about unjust suffering, the kind we have not deserved but is dished out to us simply because we act as Christians and because others are cruel. It happens. And Peter in our text explains to us how we are to react. And the reaction is defined by the example of Christ. You should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Now, if we parse this out, what it means first of all is that we should not seek to defend our innocent lives. Exceptions granted. Let them cast insults. Let them even cast their slander. You look at Christ and his suffering on the cross, and that is exactly what we find. So we read, for example, in Matthew, when Jesus was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. There was no self-defense of his innocent and righteous life, even though there could have been, and in one sense, should have been. And when he was finally nailed to the cross, when they were mocking him incessantly, He never cried out, "But I am innocent. You are falsely accusing me." Instead, when Jesus did speak during his suffering and crucifixion, he spoke only those words that would be helpful in drawing sinners like Pilate and the soldiers and the Jews to himself, drawing them to himself as the Savior, as their Savior. But never once did he defend his innocence. His testimony of his innocence was his life that he had led from beginning to end. He needed no words. And the same thing with us. Peter says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." And the other thing we learn from the example of Christ is this. Not only did he not defend his righteous life, but he did not attack. To those who insult us and slander us, there is to be no retaliation. Not in deed or in word or even in thought. No attacking them to their face or behind their back. Again, Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And that example is his suffering and the cross. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine wrote a letter to the editor in response to an article on child rearing. And his message was simply the biblical and common sense teaching that unless there are extenuating circumstances, parents, not the government, parents have the responsibility to raise their children. And you would have thought that he was asking parents to murder their children based on the responses to his response. He was scorned, he was falsely accused, he was raked through the coals. It was terrible. And I was waiting for him to respond 1 week and then 2 weeks, and finally he responded after 3 weeks, but he did not respond in the way that I thought he would. He did not defend himself or his views. Instead, he simply explained the gospel. He said there's forgiveness of sins. It has been acquired through Christ and his cross. It is free. And it is apprehended by faith. And when I asked him why he responded this way, he said that he believed many of these people were responding to him out of a sense of guilt, and what they needed was the gospel. So this was his attempt to draw them to the Savior, their Savior. Now there is something else here in this text that goes without saying, even though it is being said all along. Embedded in this Christ the example role is Christ the Redeemer role, Christ the Good Shepherd role. Is Christ our example? Yes, no doubt. The serious Christian understands that. The true Christian grasps that and puts it into action, albeit quite poorly. But above and beyond this example role of Christ, first and foremost is Christ the Redeemer, Christ the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Christ the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And that is so clear in this text and in this epistle and throughout the Bible. It is Christ for us, not Christ in us, that takes center stage for the Christian. Once upon a time, an army was parading through the capital city because they had just defeated a foreign enemy and saved its people. As was its tradition, at the head of the parade was one soldier who was considered to be the most brave and heroic and who had gone above and beyond the call of duty to help save the people so that now he could be duly honored by the citizens. And as the parade passed by, a young boy said to his father, "When I grow up, I want to be just like him." To which his father replied, "I am very glad you want to be like him. But when you see him, when you think about him, remember first and foremost, not his example, but that he saved his people. and that because of him, you live in freedom. All like sheep that had gone astray. We were all captive to the enemy, to Satan, and our own sinful nature. And they still drive us crazy. But by his wounds, we are healed. We, through faith, have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. We have returned to the shepherd who once gave up his life for the sheep and is now risen and alive. By the unfathomable bravery of the good shepherd, we are saved and we live in freedom from Satan, from sin, and from death. We do not say, "Behold the Lamb of God who is our example." We say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold the shepherd who gave up his life for the sheep." And as we do so, as we see in him first and foremost, the one who went to the cross bearing no sins of his own, because he had none, but bore our sins instead. As we see the one who did not defend himself before his enemies, but could have. As we see the one who did not retaliate, but he remained on the cross. As we see the one who made no threats to try to intimidate those others so they would take him off the cross. Then it is not too much. And it is never too little to follow in his steps as we unjustly suffer. Amen.